Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So, LeJean, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Man, I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm good. But let me just say this. I'm somewhat hurt, and so is Jeremy Dixon and Bob, that we read on, was it Blabbermouth, or no, Loudwire.com, about you taking mushrooms and meeting Alice Cooper. I'm like, how has this story never been shared with us?
I can't believe we've never talked about it before, but it's definitely a true story with a chocolate-covered mushroom and a gold wrapping package that sat in the freezer of the bus. And I promised myself that I wouldn't do it. And then this one night, Norm, my drum tech, said, hey, this is the perfect night. Why don't we do this? And the last thing I remember was taking a bite of it and being in the back lounge of the bus. And you know how the bus counters are.
Right.
Somehow I was able to climb up above the bus couch, and I was sitting, and I felt like a bird. Everybody on the bus. And so about that time, someone comes back and says, you guys, come on, Alice Cooper wants to meet you guys. He's inviting you on the bus. And I'm like, no way, I'm going. And I was like, you can do it. We got this. It's cool. You know, it's going to be fun. And we get on the bus, and I'm cool. I'm holding it together. This is a true story. And the security guard is sitting there, and Alice is not in the front lounge of the bus. And we're kind of getting situated, but his son and his daughter walked past. She had been part of the show, and I remember seeing her and kind of talking. And the little boy was sitting kind of right in front of where I was at. And the security guard comes by, and he pops his son in the back of the head and says, get up, why are you trying to act bad? You know that's your daddy's seat. And I started laughing, and I could not stop.
Oh, and there is nothing more than having the total out-of-body experience, being as a guy who's fond of the hallucinogens and the mushrooms. When you are forced to go from I'm comfortably high, I'm having a pretty great moment, to I have to straighten up, this is serious, and then you're in another situation, you're actually having this one moment where you're like, ah, this is so weird, and then you have the other voice going, straighten up, man, you know you got to handle this, for God's sake. And then you're like, why is that little kid so weird? Why is that guy hitting him? Like, just...
Exactly. That was a funny story. And years later, yeah, well, not maybe years later, but anyway, we ended up being in Europe in me and Lemmy Motorhead were hanging out, and we go to a concert at the Historia, and he's like, I'd like for you to meet my buddy, and it was hang out with me. I hung out with Alice Cooper backstage with Lemmy.
Oh, how great was that?
So, yeah, how crazy is that? So, you know, some of those stories you forget about until you hear about them again, but that's definitely something I'll never forget.
Well, no. So tell me how it goes on the bus. That's what I want to know. So now it's in full effect. You're seeing it all unfold. You're on a different bus. So your reality has changed now. You're a little freaked out, I would imagine, because you're getting ready to meet the Alice Cooper, and you want to make a good impression, but you know you're high. And you're what? Did he know, by the way?
Oh, no, he didn't know at all. No one knew about that except us.
Oh.
We kept that under wraps, and we made it through. It was a great, you know, we talked, we laughed, We talked about the show. He talked about us being a band, and it was a real cool experience. But yeah, something I'll never forget. Norm's chocolate covered shroom. Can't remember exactly where we got him at, but you know, was it Kansas City where we had him at? I think it was Freak, man. I almost want to say it was like a Freaker's Ball or something.
Jesus Christ.
I'm trying to, man, for real. You know, those, it was so many years ago, but I was talking to Ash about it. I was like, I feel like it was one of those shows where it was like a Freaker's Ball. But I'm going to do my history on it, but it definitely happened.
That's so fantastic.
I was in another plane, in another world, in the zone, but I was there, kind of.
Did I ever tell you, so, you know, we did Woodstock 94 way back when they brought, so we get invited to go there by Sky Daniels, this record guy. We go in a day early. I'm with MacGyver. We called him MacGyver because he could figure out things that normally weren't done in radio. So we carried a Comrex, which is the only way to communicate. You know, it's not like today. And so with motorcycle batteries and a backpack out of a tent, we did a broadcast from Woodstock 94, hooked up and actually made it work. And so it was an amazing amount of like scamboogery to get it done. Now we're inside the event. We did it for 2 days. And at the end, he goes, hey, man, he's a dirty hippie. He goes, I got some acid. I go, I don't want to do any acid, man. I go, we've had a long, like, let's watch the shows. And he goes, no, man, we're at Woodstock. And I go, fine, let's eat the acid. So we eat the blotter acid. And all of a sudden, he goes, we're walking through. It rolls on. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. We have these little backstage passes so we can kind of get out of the crowd a little bit. And he goes, hey, man, you got a live interview. And I go, what are you talking about? And he goes, we have to do television back to Kansas City. And I go, hey, man, I can't do that right now. So, I mean, it's really hammering me. And we have to get up. And they have these trailers, those flatbed trailers. There's got to be 30 of them, nuts to butts. And literally, media from all over the world came to 94 to see it, if it could be recreated again. So it's just camera, 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 wow. Camera, camera. And there's a space on, you know how wide a trailer is. Where it's a flatbed, and they've got their tripod, the camera guy's behind it. And so you've got about 2 feet before you fall off the 4 feet to the ground, and the lens on this camera is concave. So all I can see is my own super distorted reflection in it. And they put the thing in your ear, and all of a sudden there's a voice talking, and all I can do is get that mega acid smile. Like.
Wow, it sounds like we both, and I bet so many people have had that Cheech and Chong experience. Where like, oh man, what's gonna make me do, man? What's gonna make me feel like, man?
Oh, I think the quote was, "There's smoke, colors, and all kinds of food."
what a great story!
Yeah, it was a moment. It was just, yeah, it was crazy. But those are the things in rock and roll that you always heard about as a kid. So when they happened, you're like, wow. Like when I read that about you, I'm like, what? How insane it must have been to meet Alice Cooper. Which Alice is a nice man, but you know. Awesome. He's an interesting-looking facial guy, and if I was too close to him under some harsh fluorescent lights and I had been eating mushrooms, it might get weird in my head.
Oh, well, definitely. You know, and there's still, you know, even after the shower and stuff, there's still the black makeup's kind of running a little bit, too.
Right.
I do definitely remember that.
Now, let's talk about important stuff. This Daughtry thing, how did this come about? What are you guys doing, hunger strike?
Oh, my goodness. So I get this call from Daughtry. You know, we've been buddies for a long, long time. And he asked Pastor Bobby, and I said, you know, man, I think that's pretty awesome what you're doing. And then he kind of tells me the background story why and how he loved, the band Soundgarden and everything. And he told me his story, and I kind of told him my story. And then he kind of said, well, actually, all the proceeds, if we do this song, if you decide to do it with me, it's going to go to Feeding the Hungry. And I said, I think that's incredible. What you need me to do? Well, he got his band together. They recorded their part. I was at home, and I called up Josh Barber, and I went into Studio B24, and which was incredible. I've been doing a lot of work, a little work there here and there when I had time. And I went in and cut the vocals, and it sounded cool, and sent it back, and they did their stuff. Josh did his stuff, and I put it together. And before I knew it, I didn't know exactly what was going to happen with it. I said, we're going to release it, and the next thing I know, radio stations are picking it up. But the most important thing... it's going to feed families out there, especially over this pandemic. You know, just before that, anyway, that's just something good. But it really means a lot, and it turned out beautiful, man.
It really did.
I hope that this helps people, you know. So it gets fun, and I'm here in Nashville. I get to hang out with Chris again, and And hopefully in the future we'll be able to perform that somewhere.
Well, look at
it. Also, Matt Cameron, the drummer from Soundgarden, told me he thought it was great. So there you go. I was like, thank you. We did it.
Yeah, because, you know, for those of you guys who don't know, Temple of the Dog was Soundgarden and Pearl Jam mashed up. And they became, of course, Temple of the Dog for just a one-off. And it was really a tribute to Andrew Wood, who was the singer for the band Mother Love Bone, which I know that goes deep.
Absolutely.
But that was the beginning of this grunge era. And, you know, we were losing people to a lot of heroin overdoses. I mean, you remember Shannon Hoon from Blind Melon? What an incredible singer, man, but lost way
absolutely.
Too early.
Wow. Absolutely, man. And, like I said in an interview, I said, man, that was a movement. And you just said it. That was a movement. And still today, it resonates when you hear that album and you hear that music and you just hear the soul behind what was going on. And it was beautiful to be a part of it. So I thank Daughtry and his team for having me be a part of something so cool.
Now, what did I see on Instagram? You're in Nashville now. You're down there cutting now, aren't you?
Yeah, actually, I came down to Nashville and I worked with the Four Horsemen, which is a cool group of gentlemen that a lot of people know, that they've written a lot of cool songs. So I came down and did a co-write on four different tracks. And I'm really excited about that. And so just, you know, taking my time, and I got another writing session that I kind of got rescheduled, but I'll be coming back down to Nashville, and I can't wait to tell you about that too. So yeah, things have been going, and looks like when I get back home, I got to get back in shape because Seven Dust is getting ready to hit the road. It's happening.
So, well, tell me about the Four Horsemen in Nashville. Because I remember the rock band, the Four Horsemen, but mm-hmm. who are these guys? They're all Nashville writers.
Yeah, well, Blair, you probably know Blair. Zach was a singer for a band called the Nixons back in the day.
Sure.
And, yep, and then you have, let's see, you got Blair, you got him, you got Marty. Marty, I don't remember Marty's last name, but Marty wrote songs for Aerosmith, blah, blah, blah. He's got a few number ones. And then there's
Marty Fredrickson. He played Megadeth.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you have Scott, the singer from the X's. And so these are some, guys have been writing number one hits behind the scenes for a long time. They just named themselves the Four Horsemen. And I'm lucky enough, you know, to have known Zach actually for 20 years. We were one of the first bands that the Nixons took out 20 years ago. So it's a story there for us to get back together. And, you know, man, we wrote so well together. It was a great experience. I only wrote with those two of the team. So
that's pretty.
It was a good time. Went to Blair's house studio, locked ourselves up. I was actually the first in-person writing sessions they've done since COVID. So it was really cool to get back in the studio and be right there with some really cool writers that, you know the story.
When is the first show for Seven Dust going to be? Have you guys got it booked already?
Yeah, everything. Let's see. So it's coming out. I'll be flying out June 26th for rehearsal. I believe the first show is around the 29th in Illinois. And we started out, you know, we do a couple of those big festivals. Only a month, 3-week run. To start out, but you know, I feel like we'll be getting our feet wet, some big shows out there, and some headlining.
You've been stuck at home, and you guys are live. I mean, that's your world. That's where all fans are made. You know, they hear your music, and they're super fans. They know how good it is, but when you see it live, that bonds you for life. So, over a year since you've been doing shows, and you're going to start with a giant festival. Jesus Christ, man, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's time to get back. You know, I just feel like we're ready. No matter what, it's time. It's ready to get that magic going again and just, you know, rock it out. I can't wait to feel that energy again. I've only had it in dreams for the last year. So I'm ready to get back to work. I'm ready to, you know, maybe not touch everybody's hand yet, but I'm definitely ready to get on that stage and sing my heart out, man. And hopefully, you know, I've always said music is a healer, and I think it's going to heal people even more once we get this live aspect back together again, you know, and us jumping around and hopping and enjoying it.
Listen, I got that vaccination, and I know people are weird about it and all, but for me, I'm hugging hobos and licking doorknobs. I'm wide open now, man. I'm in.
I hear, it's not the vaccination I'm scared of. It's just maybe the dude next to me.
Yeah, no, I'm in. I'm at that place now where I'm it felt so good to get on that motorcycle ride, and I thought about you a bunch, man. I was like, man, it sure would be great to have him with us this time, and you know, it's you got to make hay while the sun shines, right? Like those guys invite you to come down and do a riding session, you got to go.
Absolutely.
We'll get another run in, but I'm excited to see Seven Dust again. And you guys, you know, since 1994, Seven Dust has been a nonstop touring machine. You get very little time off, and that band works hard, and that's. there's a lot that goes on inside of a band like that. When you're family and you're stuck in the tube, right? You're in the time machine. It's good. It's bad. It's family. It's yelling. It's happiness. It's crying. It's everything. So you can get tired of each other, and not that you don't love each other, but it's family. And when you have a year off like that, it's got to be a reset. I mean, it's got to be one of those things you're like, oh, I was actually worried we might not ever do this again, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. You know, so that, I had that feeling for a minute, but we were lucky enough to actually see each other when we did three live streams.
That's
so,
right. That's right.
That kind of made us feel, you know, that kind of made us feel like we're band, man, even though our moves are a little rusty. But, hey, what's up, man? You still rock out a little bit.
That's got to feel great, though.
I feel like everybody feels like, you know, we're not going in as dry because, you know, those shows that we did. So we feel a little seasoned. But I'm excited. It's going to be fun. Yeah, it's going to be good to get back together with the guys, to be on the bus together, to tell the stories. And, we're not too crazy like we were when we were young, but we still have a good time.
Listen, there's still time for a gold foil wrapped mushroom in your life.
I don't know how I'll react. I might be so on top of the bus and looking down at everybody.
One time, we did that, and I ended up in a tree. I had friends who lived in an old schoolhouse in Drexel, Missouri. And to your point of being a bird, I somehow decided I was a gargoyle and climbed a tree about 10 feet up and demanded that they bring me some Chinese wings that they had ordered. And then I would come down because they're like, come down before you fall down. And I'm like, bring me wings.
I love it. You know, speaking of trees, I'm going to tell you a story. So we're playing this festival outside, and you know the guy Yellow Wolf?
Yeah, sure.
I met him earlier during the day. Cool guy. You know, cool. I like your style, man. I like some of your songs, you know, whatever. Cool. So, their bus is parked behind our bus, right? So I'm walking back to our bus, and I can hear us chatter and talking and laughter and, I can't see anyone, and I'm like, what's going on around here? Well, you look back and you notice that Yellow Wolf and these really pretty girls and a couple of dudes are all partying up in a tree drinking, and I had never seen anything like it. So maybe they had those chocolate covered things that night, because I almost climbed the tree, but I didn't.
Dude, that's it. Everything seems a little, and again, I'm not advocating drugs. I'm just saying they may have always worked for me. It just is, it's a thing. And it is, it's, you know what I mean? It is a funny world we live in. The situations that you find yourself, the fact that you're, you know, even going back to this, going, doing songs with Chris Daughtry, the fact, I mean, I would have never called that. And I did know you guys were friends, but I didn't think you guys would record together, being as it's, that's a pretty big distance between the two careers.
Oh, absolutely. You know, actually he recorded years and years ago on a Seven Dust track called The Pass. I brought him into the studio, I mean, before anything got really big. And I remember him being in the studio with me, and he actually asked me if he could stay in the booth while I sang my part, and I did let him. And it was cool. It started a long-time friendship, man, so it was cool to do this again with him. Yeah, and it's definitely two different sides, and I'm glad that we were able to bring it together. Even actually, I was at his house the other day and said, oh, my God, I can't believe some of these metal magazines are talking about me, and, you know, and he's always wanted to branch over into that
sure.
side of the rock world. So it was really cool for us to show that it's all right to do something like that, you know?
When a guy like Chris Daughtry says, can I stand in the booth with you? When you're trying to lay down a track for an album, it can't be comfortable, but you let him. So why did he want to be there? Did he just want to feel what happens?
Oh, absolutely, man. It was cool. And, you know, I think also it was a learning experience, too, at that time of our lives. We were carefree. It was fun. And we couldn't believe that he was getting ready to do this track. He'd done so many big things, you know, after
sure.
doing Idol and stuff, and he's getting ready to have this album come out. And it was just, you know, it was brothers, and he was really, I can't believe I'm in here doing this with you, and you're doing this. Let me stay in here. And I was like, yeah, sure, it's fine. And he watched me work, and it was cool. That's a story a lot of people don't know either.
Yeah, it's such a crazy thing to have someone ask, because you think about it. The vocal recording booths, as a rule, aren't really big. And then it's a pretty personal thing when you're trying to give your absolute best performance and you have an audience of one standing 9 inches from your face. I'm like, that's
different, but it was cool. it was a fairly easy part. You know, I knew my stuff, so it was cool, you know, cause he did a verse and I did a verse. So it wasn't the whole song.
You don't get nervous, do you?
I don't get nervous. You know, actually, you know what? That's a lie, because I told Ash, I was nervous about this writing session, and I said, you know what, there would be something wrong if I didn't have that feeling. I said, that's what keeps me going still. You know, I still get nervous about shows, and I'm scared and I can't do it. And I'm getting ready to hide in the bus, but I get that those butterflies, and I think that's a good thing to always get that feeling. You know, keep blood going. You know?
We were talking about that this weekend. Everybody needs that little fear. That little fear is what gets you up in the morning. It's what makes you pay attention riding your motorcycle. That little fear of losing your girl makes you straighten up. That little fear of anything. But you're right. You have to have a little bit burning inside there at all times, just to remind you that absolutely, everything can change in an instant.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so grateful for the opportunities, man, and also to still be in the family with you guys and to have you in our lives, man. It's not, and Casey still definitely embraced us as a family, and I love it. And I can't wait to get home tomorrow.
So you're home tomorrow?
Yes, let's go home tomorrow.
Listen, let's go ride. Like, listen, enough of this whole COVID and separation and stuff. We haven't seen each other. It's a hard rule. Like, we're going to ride this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I got the bikes are all charged. Come, you know what? Here's what I'll do. You want to try that new electric Harley?
I was just getting ready to say, can I ride the electric one? I'm already in.
Yep. It's charged. It's yours. I'm going to put your name on it, right? I'm going to go write Lejean on a piece of paper and tape it to the tank. Nobody else can use it.
I like it. Just make sure you do that and get me a helmet. And I'm there.
Yes. And I got to tell you, I saw. I could not believe it. She's 13, man. What the hell? She is. And she looked incredible.
Jada, it's ridiculous. I told her the other day. I said, you're not really 13. So I don't know what's going on. But
Miss Jada, I was like, she's like a little girl now. Like, she's not a little kid.
She's a young lady.
Yeah. And her hair is beautiful. I was just like, look at this going, how do I know? It seems too fast.
Yeah, absolutely. She had a little outfit on yesterday, and I said, I almost said, you can't wear that.
Oh.
it was a long dress, and she had her Danny DeVito socks on with her combat boots, but I still felt like she looked older than, I don't know. I'm not ready for this.
No, we're going to have to do something terrible to somebody. I can already feel it, man.
Absolutely.
Listen.
Man, it's great to hear y'all's voices, bro. I miss you, and I can't wait to see you. Let's definitely talk about riding this weekend. I would love to get together.
All right, I'm in. I love you, man. Have a good time in Nashville. Be careful getting home. And, let's I'll take you all out to dinner, whatever we're going to do. But, man, enough of the tentative talking. Let's, for real, you know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call the boss and have Ashley set it all up with Sassy Von Fancy Pants, because then I know it'll get done.
Let's do it. And Nick, I can't wait to talk to you about someone that I'm working with here in Nashville. You going and your husband are going to trip out.
I can't wait to have that conversation.
I'll be talking to y'all soon. It's crazy news.
That makes me happy for you. That's awesome.
Hold on. Lay it to me one more time. Someone you're working with in Nashville that involves not just someone I'll trip out on, but Nikki and Mike?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is what he does. This is what he does. He'll lay that little thing out in front, mm-hmm. and then I'll have to think about it for the rest of the week until I see you on the weekend.
But I want to see his face when he's telling me this.
He's like a drug dealer.
Yeah. I know.
Good morning.
Just woke up and said good morning.
I didn't realize everybody was down there. I thought it was just you.
Oh, no, I brought the whole family. We got this beautiful Airbnb. It's a two-bedroom apartment, kitchen and everything. It's great. It's been nice. We're right down the street from I could actually throw a rock probably to Tootsie's. So it's cool. We're in a really
excellent.
Nice area.
Dude, I know you got to go, but I was in Tootsie's, White Orchid, and I was with Jesse James Dupree. So we come walking in, and it was his beautiful wife, Penny, and Sassy. And we walked in, and the singer, the band's on the right side of the door. He goes, hey, recognize Jesse. And then we both looked over to the left, and he passed away. Oh, God damn it. Hagler. Before that. What's
Tommy?
No. For God's sakes.
I know a boxer.
I can't believe it. No, older. He passed now.
I only have Muhammad Ali in my head now. Thanks.
Oh, God damn it. Anyway, so they sit down, and as they're going through it all, Frazier. Yes, sorry. So it was Frazier, and Frazier's sitting there, and he's wearing a tuxedo. He's got a buddy with him. All of a sudden, the mic gets handed down, and in about 25 seconds, they'd made a decision, and he and Jesse are sitting in the booth, and they're singing Devil with a Blue Dress.
Oh, wow.
It's the crazy. It was like being on drugs. So I would walk in. He says, I have pictures. I have video of this. It was unbelievable. Wow. And then 3 months later, he was gone. He passed away.
Wow, that's a crazy story. It's so weird you're telling that story. I know you guys got to go, but I was talking about you and Greg taking out, what's his name from the band Ghost, and singing.
Oh, Tobias. Tobias from Ghost. I know. Oh, it's so terrible.
The guys, they were dying. I'm like, yeah, you can't make this stuff up.
Oh.
I remember that for the rest of their lives, too. He's like, what was he doing? I said, I don't know. I said, Greg, I forget. I think, a Marvin Gaye song?
If you don't know me by now. If you don't know me by now. And Tobias looks, he goes,
imagine that, them in this little dark lit room, bar. And I think Johnny said it was like a couple just dancing.
Oh, and they're just white hogging it, like grinding on each other. Oh,
exactly. You can't make it up. You can't unsee that, first off.
Well, the worst part is, for those of you who don't know this story, what happens is, I get a call from LJ. He said, hey, my friend from Ghost, lead singer for Ghost, and now we use it. Everybody knows his name is Tobias now. And yeah. He says he'd like to hang out a little bit. He has some questions about some Halloween stuff. And so he and I went to dinner, and he doesn't drink. So we're eating, and he's really asked me about what Halloween means in America and those Halloween shows that rock stations do and how Ghost can fit in. And I'm just trying to give him the best advice I can. Mm-hmm. He's a really super interesting guy, like incredibly smart. Awesome. And so then, you know, I feel like it's my responsibility to show him a good time. We go to a record store and we go through a bunch of vinyl. Greg comes by the stagecoach and we have a beer. He and Greg and I do. And he says, well, some of the guys in the band might like to go to a good rock and roll divey joint, maybe meet some girls, whatever. And I go, Greg, this is your world out this direction. He goes, let's go to the Brick. We go to the Brick. And first of all, was that the bluegrass night?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we walk in. And it is packed to the gills, but it's doing this crazy ass bing ding 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 ding. And there's people dressed up like a goddamn costume party, wearing like overalls and have straw in their hair,
spoons,
and they're ho down. And in about 10 minutes, the whole thing ends, and nobody's in the bar now. Now, because it was packed, we had to sit all the way at the back of this little joint in this tiny little booth. Greg is sitting in one side, and then Tobias and I have squoze into the other little side. And Greg is doing stuff like he's ordering the tater tots. Jesus. And then he gave her kind of a wink and gun with his hand, like that. He goes, you know, crispy like a lackum. It is so surreal. And I'm like, oh, why am I bringing this guy here? This is not good. Now the bar is completely empty. Greg is eating his tots. Then he disappears. I'm still sitting on that side with Tobias making small talk. And all of a sudden I hear Greg start to sing, If You Don't Know Me By Now. And I was like, what? And remember, he didn't excuse himself. He didn't say, I'm going to go sing now. He just decided he should show the Grammy Award winning singer for Ghost how good he can sing. Which, by the way, he sounds great. And Tobias goes, maybe we should sit at the bar. So he's all Count Chocula on me. And we walk over there. And we're sitting there, and I'm drinking now. I'm double drinking because I'm like, this just got too weird. Greg is still singing. I'm looking at Tobias like, I don't know why. We're the audience of two for Greg. What made you decide that, to sing in front of Tobias?
Well, it was karaoke night.
That does not explain anything.
I was about or six whiskeys in at that point.
That is great. It's a scene from a movie or a video. We have to reenact this.
Oh,
again.
And just when it gets uncomfortable, really uncomfortable, the door opens, the daylight pours in, so it kind of blinds you. It shuts. They don't even order drinks. Greg is singing. They can barely get away from each other. Then their two giant sweaty bodies start to meld, and it's every kind of grind dancing you've ever seen from 300-pound wildebeest people to the point where this great big girl wearing jean shorts grabs her own ankles, which was impressive, and he's got her by the hips, and he is just driving his crotch into her. Greg is singing If You Don't Know Me By Now, and I'm sitting next to the guy who's like, maybe, you know, it's we should sit at the bar. I'm like, Jesus God.
Wow, what a scene. I wish I was with y'all that night.
Oh, I'm so glad you weren't. It would have been even more embarrassing.
Like, I remember you apologizing because you're like, LJ's never going to forgive me for this.
No, I thought he entrusted me with this guy, and then look what I did to him.
That's great. He'll never forget that. You know that.
Oh, that poor. And he's not even from our country. He doesn't know. He doesn't know this. All right, listen, I love you, man. Tell everybody I love him. And,
I love you, too.
I thought of Ken yesterday. I was driving through Kingston, Arkansas, this little bitty weird town, and I literally had the thought, I wonder if I can steal the sign. And I thought, okay, I'm an adult now. We don't steal people's signs anymore.
But hey, at least you had the thought. It's yeah. The thought that counts.
All right, man. Listen, be safe.
Love you guys, man. I'll talk to you. I'll give you a call this week. I'm home tomorrow, and you guys be safe, and I'll see you soon.
I'll see you soon, man. Guys, hunger strike. Bye.